You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So, this is Mother's Day, and it is, you know, one of those Mother's Days that there are obviously lots of things to celebrate, but some really sad and tragic news for our Culture Club HCX family. One of our friends, T.
Mitch,
was the victim of a interfamily murder suicide just earlier this week, and it's been a rough week.
I mean, all of us, everyone I speak to, whether they knew T or they didn't, mm-hmm. is so shocked, surprised, wounded by this event.
Wounded, that's the right word.
We're tired. We're exhausted because we don't know where to put the
grief.
The anxiety, the what could I have done? Could mm-hmm. we have known anything? I mean, mm-hmm. how do you deal with a loss like this?
Yeah.
It's really profound.
Well, and even I have friends that are in other places, one in D.C., one's in New York, and we've been talking about it because, I mean, it's gotten national coverage because T was the owner of two restaurants, a very prominent one here in Houston, Traveler's Table, and then a fast casual Traveler's Cart as well as.
And they're both open.
They're both still open.
They're staying open.
And also the founder of a clothing line, travel clothing line, which you have a great vest from, Foreign Fair, which is at our friend David Peck's.
Which is how we really met her in the first
place. That's how we first met her.
She supported us. She came to everything we ever did.
Yeah.
You supported her incredibly.
Yeah.
You know.
So it is, you know, it's one of those things where, like you said, wounded. I think that's a really great word. I think that's how everybody's feeling because it's so shocking, so unexpected. And here, right, the week of Mother's Day. Right?
Yeah, what are we supposed to do about this?
Well, I think we do what we here in Houston do for sure, is when something is not right, we get busy trying to make it right. And so whether that's raising awareness, whether that's checking on friends and letting people know if they're struggling, you can talk to us. There are resources that you can connect to. So no one ever feels like killing themselves or harming anyone else is the way. I think that's what we can do. And one of the things that we are going to talk about on the show is the domestic violence or an awareness group, ABDA.
Yes, we are.
.org, and this organization does all kinds of amazing work for victims, but also for harm doers, which is unique.
I think so important.
And it's very unique because I do believe that people can be rehabilitated in general. So I think that's what we do. Like you said, it's difficult because there's nowhere to put it, really. Something so shocking and unexpected and really with no warning signs in the traditional sense. So I think that's what we have to do. I think we have to get busy being aware, being educated, and taking care of each other.
Well, I have to say, and I'm shouting out to you because you have a Substack that's always pertinent, always makes you think. Makes us uncomfortable occasionally, and you did write a post for T, mm-hmm. and it was data filled and data. It started with data, which mm-hmm. I think is so important because so much of this goes on in the United States of America.
Yes,
not everywhere else in the world, but here, supposedly, mm-hmm. an incident like this happens every 5 days mm-hmm. in the United States all year long. And there's things to be aware of. And I just urge you to, how do people read that? Because it was so profound for me.
Well, thank you. So just, my name is Shivana. You all know that. And if you just search that up on Substack, it's going to come up. And the Substack is called Now That We're Being Honest. So,
like
yeah.
she never was.
Well, and the reason I led was that, so, you know, part of, to the point that you made, part of the reason that even came to be is because I had all of this energy and I didn't know where it, to place it. And so what I do is I go researching. I go reading. I go gathering data, and knowing that at some point that data is going to turn into something, whether it's a conversation or something written. And so that was one thing I could, and I've been sharing it. Well, obviously I wrote it and published it, and then people have been sharing it.
Yes.
And not just with folks here in Houston. And so I think that's super important, because I really do think that it's awareness, education, and erasing the stigma that if it seems like something is off, that you can't ask them about it. I'm like, ask people. And it's okay if they're upset with you. I would rather you be upset with me than to do something that either harms yourself or harms someone else or both. You can be mad at me. I don't care about that, because I care about the person being healthy and whole and getting the help they need.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And honestly, recently I faced somebody being mad at me because I asked them how they were.
Yeah.
If everything was okay. And they were so insulted that I was prying into their secrets or something. And all I really wanted to know,
are you okay?
Are you okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you, if I meet you, I'm probably going to ask you that.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's important. And I think one of the things that, you know, just in general, if we're in community, then let's be in community. Let's take care of each other. Doesn't mean you need to know all the juicy details of everyone's life. But like you did, if someone looks like something's not quite right, ask. And it's okay if they're upset, because if you're wrong, I would rather ask and be wrong than to not ask and then have something like this happen.
I agree.
So take care of each other, people. So important. And rest in peace, T, and your babies.
Amen.
This is Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavonna Robert-Schreiber.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson, Bowman Lombardi, fashionista, bio babe, Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who's never walked a sideline, and the co-host of Culture Club HTX, here with my beautiful, brilliant, best, black, and really bossy co-host. She is.
Shavonna Robert-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world, and the parliamentarian.
Which doesn't work.
Which works. It works because it makes you get crazy. And I love that part. Yeah. Anyway.
It makes me
absolutely
crazy.
Why?
Because I want to talk when I want to talk.
We know. Did you get used in conduct? You did.
Yeah. Okay. I told you that.
All right.
My whole life I got straight A report cards and used in conduct until I was in fifth grade and Miss Brandenburg gave me a straight A.
Okay. So we have a special sports segment,
so
because we haven't had a sports guest in a while, actually.
No, we haven't.
So bio babe.
Baseball boyfriend Scott, who's not a guest.
You say still, you still don't. So who, you still don't? You're a sports
guest. Yeah, we have a super special guest friend, like all the things. T. Eason is here with us, and she is, you know, I met her. I guess I met you because of Abda, but really, I met you, Tari Eason, the incredible Houston Rocket, his first year here.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. He was Rookie of the Year. We were at the luncheon when he found out, right?
He was not Rookie
of
the
Year. Oh, he wasn't?
Year,
I think these
so
days.
On brand.
Lisa.
So on brand.
I thought she was an All-American. She
so
wasn't
on brand.
Either.
Oh, that's okay. If you're giving out awards, that's
yeah, good. Right? So we'll take him.
But well, I thought he was. And he was my Rookie of the
Year. Yeah, there you go.
He was your Rookie of the Year.
There you go.
Yes.
So anyway, so you do a million different things.
He was on the
things.
All-rookie team.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So that, you were at the luncheon.
She's like, that was
out.
Close enough.
You have to luncheon.
Yeah, he was
we
so excited. Yes.
Where he found out. So yes,
yes.
You are.
Okay.
She's in the neighborhood.
You know, it's tracking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I have two of them right now.
No,
somebody needs to. You better step up for me.
No,
this
we're
is not
recording the news.
Like, go
so,
well, otherwise,
are you going to say anything? Are you going to say
two of
sounds
you?
Like your ball game.
It
are
is
you going to say
game.
Anything
she
else?
Or,
bio babe, have you forgotten your rest? You just got.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Spiel.
I have to
Let's hear
give
it.
You the spiel.
Okay.
Okay. Today we're joined by Taroya T. Eason, Houston creative entrepreneur and proud momager. I love that. To Houston Rockets forward Tari Eason. T has built a dynamic career across media, marketing, fashion, and real estate, and today manages her son's brand and business off the court, overseeing partnerships, contracts, and everything in between. So beyond basketball, she's deeply committed to advocacy, supporting causes like domestic violence awareness, and working with organizations like ABDA, passionate outspoken, and purpose-driven. T is using her platform to make an impact both in Houston and beyond.
Welcome, T.
Yay.
That's great. Yeah, of course.
Yay.
See?
Thank you.
Why I'm like, are you going to finish the thing? It's good.
Yeah, it is good.
All right, so you have a great first question. Go, take it away.
You've lived so many chapters, creative business, advocacy, and now momager. How did you become you? I mean, what are the moments that really shaped your voice and your path?
I think it does not hurt being a very clumsy, tall woman. I was forced into roles I don't know that I wanted to achieve, but I got there by being tall. And I mean from like 2 or 3 or 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
A lot of pressure from adults. I've had friends whose moms were like, oh, look, you got the tall friend. Look, now you got your own bodyguard. Just those little random statements.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
So everything built on that. And
oh, my goodness.
Teachers and the pressure of sports. And that's what made me not excel so much as playing them, is loving them, if that makes sense. It made me a pusher more than I was able to push myself.
Interesting.
And I've always been a really great pusher and bossy ever since. But I was forced into that
role. Oh, another
role.
One.
Yeah.
I mean,
I feel like,
you see?
This is really
like
fun to have twins
play ball,
here.
Lisa.
It's like lean in. It's like lean in.
Life is giving you these livings, a.k.a. So, really spicy, gorgeous black women. Enjoy it, Lisa.
I love this.
Trust
me,
I do.
So tell me this. So it sounds like you said, even from being a young woman, young girl,
yes,
you've been sort of shaped by all of these experiences. So
When
did you figure out, okay, this is the game that we're playing and I'm going to play it well. And I'm going to lean into it. I'm going to own it and do all the things that you have gone on to do.
Probably high school.
Okay. Talk to us about it.
I take that. I'm going to go back to middle school.
Okay.
When they told my mom that I was starting a gang.
A gang?
A gang? I was like, a gang? That's a good thing. No,
not
gang.
Not a game.
Gang. Got
a
it.
Gang.
Got
G-A-N-G.
It.
G-A-N-G.
I had moved from South L.A. to Burbank, but Burbank is a very affluent, prominent where all the studios are in L.A. And that's where I got my first taste of, you know what? That this whole role that you're being put into is, you know, the pushing.
Mm.
They're shaping you to, I either run from it, or I run at it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they told my mom I was starting a gang, it's because I had a couple friends that were Latino women who wore their lip liner and their gold earrings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I had a white friends who were cheerleaders. And I had friends who were Mormon. My best friends were Mormon twins.
Oh, that's interesting.
I had the black
I don't think
friends,
Mormons
so
join
many
gangs.
Different groups of friends, but the
they
gravitation.
Don't.
I guess was well,
you.
I was the one who brought them together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I made those people who did not otherwise speak to each
so
other.
So it was a good gang. If it was a gang, it was a good gang. I'm like, this is great.
I guess before I got there, nobody was bringing people together. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I think
problem.
That's great.
It was just, it was my cross to bear, and I've enjoyed it, actually.
Yeah,
you know,
I
it's
know,
had
right?
its pros, its cons. I got to admit, it's been a bumpy road. That's why I go with momster instead of momager.
Oh, now you're momster.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
That's
so let's
just what it is.
So let's talk about momster, which
yes.
I like.
Yeah.
So what is required to be a great momster, and what happens behind the scenes? So I think people probably have an idea of what they think that means.
Yeah.
And then you are actually living this as your life, so you know what it means. So enlighten our listeners.
I think that I decided when I had my first child very young that I was going to dedicate my life to him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what that was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that I was good at bringing people together and making them.
Yeah, because you're a gang leader after all. Right.
Hello.
Good gang.
I'm the head of a gang. So, and if we were anything, we'd be the Trips, not the Crips.
Let me just tell you something. So, yes. in high, was it middle school or high school? A church that I went to, the pastor actually started what he called the Good Gang. Because he said, here's the thing, like, we can reclaim, like you said, bringing kids together and in community. It doesn't always have to be this negative thing.
Stigma.
So, no, seriously. So, that's what I'm like, it was the Good Gang.
I mean, gangs at large, when they started, were about community efforts.
I know.
They were about bringing people together, cleaning up the streets, and also communion, you know, having people be able to get together and kumbaya and all that stuff. I mean, it gets weird because, you know,
it gets weird.
Egos getting there, and that's life in general.
That's humans. But anyway,
I basically decided when he was younger, I'll tell you how it started with basketball. We had always started with sports, but he was 3 years old in his North Hollywood park, and they decided to do this exhibition thing. Luckily, it happened to be him. And they'd never done it before, where they put those Fisher-Price hoops, you know, those plastic ones?
Yes.
On either side of the gym, like a full gym. And they gave them uniforms, and they had teams, and they said, bro, we're going to do this. We've never done it. It's just going to be chaos. We're going to try it. First of all, it's the first and last time they've ever done it. Part of that maiden voyage, but it changed his life. It changed my life because I love basketball. But I saw him doing stuff out there, and the rest of the kids, everybody's traveling. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the double dribbling, it was all chaotic. But he seemed to have the desire to win and to really take it seriously.
Yes,
and he was three. Yeah, I was like, okay.
Yes.
And I think that
that's magical to be able to see that.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I've seen it in so many other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Helped friends get away from their weird boyfriends when I was younger by getting them out of there, lifting them up, growing them.
Right.
Granted, I wasn't dating. Who was dating a 6-foot-tall 14-year-old? That's a whole other story.
Whole other story. Okay, so what is happening behind the scenes that, like I said, people don't know about, like, now? So that was you recognizing, okay, yes, this kid has some talent and some desire, and I can nurture that. Now, this kid is no longer a kid.
Road. It was sleeping in cars to getting him to the right gyms. It was going back and forth with men who were telling me he wasn't that great. It was showing up to spaces that they didn't want to hear me speak about basketball, because that's what men do. They don't want to hear a woman talk about sports. They don't mind sitting pretty, which... I'm loving that the women are also sitting pretty and talking about sports these days. I'm enjoying. I'm loving that the basketball players are looking good. I mean, hello. I think
aren't
I would
they?
Really
is
stuck
that
with
amazing?
It if they were like, oh, so you can do nails and still.
Yeah.
In the 90s, you were carved out to be a certain look. Now they're doing whatever they want, and I love that. But I think that everything comes at a time, and it's supposed to come, and you roll with the punches. But I put myself in spaces I wasn't supposed to be. I forced myself into rooms. I showed up at camps where they didn't know his name, and I made sure by the time he left,
they did. I love that. So that, to me, that kind of encapsulates it, right? Where you're, whether that's when he was younger or now as a professional, it's the same thing. It's like you're showing up and you're making sure the people who need to know who he is.
It happens in marketing meetings. Right. There's a lot of times where they'll be like, you know what, we want to give you this, but we have to give this other guy that. We got to give you a lot less because nobody really knows who you are. And I'm like, so that's fine. Is anybody going to talk about basketball, though? If we go by the numbers, if we talk about what he's produced, if we talk about what his capabilities are and what he's done for just the game from college to his rookie year to now, he's always delivered something. Some people just show up and they go home. He delivers something to the game. That's really rare, and you have to kind of. I'm constantly selling it, and I've gotten better and better at selling it.
Good.
Every year of his life, and now I have a 14-year-old who I anticipate doing the exact same thing too, because
he's
6'2" and he wears a size 14. I only have two Lisa, and I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah, the recent ex-boyfriend, I had to make sure he knew we're not doing this. And no, I'm not going to be 45 pregnant.
Okay.
Pause. Well, people
do but think. Tall when they, tall women are so in right now. Hey, I mean, it is.
Why do you think I stand on my toes?
You had it all.
So we're going to change the subject just a little bit.
Love
because
it.
I met you through ABDA, which for those of you who don't know, that's Aid to Victims of Domestic Abuse. And their luncheon this year is coming up next week. It's on Tuesday. It's at the Revere, actually. I had the wrong location.
Okay.
It's at the Revere, and I'm sure that you can still support it. You can go to, what is it, ABDA.com.
ABDA, it's ABDATexas.com. If you Google ABDA, you'll see it.
And it's a wonderful organization. And I want you to tell us what this event means to you right now.
Well, to go back to when I was a little girl, I had an aunt, not very little, early teens, preteens. My aunt, my mom's baby sister, who they were like 15 years apart. So she was kind of closer to my age, if that makes sense. But I adored her and I looked up to her, and she was just stunning in every way, shape and form, and young. And she started a relationship with a man like fresh out of high school. They had a child that got married. But before they got married, he was very abusive. But she still married him. It was one of those things where, you know, I hate to say it, but in the persons of color families, we like to keep giving chances sometimes where it's a dark force and you're like, you know, if we, they just like to pray it away kind of thing. They thought that if they continued to go to church and keep him in the right atmosphere, that everything was going to be okay. It worsened after
That's
they got married.
That's not just persons of color. It's all of us.
Well, there's sometimes there with my community, I know that there's excuses made. And it's, the advocacy to leave is not as much. And there's numbers that present that. I'm not just speaking in vain or speaking from personal experience. But so long and the short, she had left him finally. They had a son, but she left him. And it was one of those things where us kids didn't realize what was going on, but I kind of did. You know, like a vibe.
Well, you're a teenager too. So
she
you're
was,
kinda...
It was early. I was 11 and 12. Okay. So, but she, I was always, again, mature, again, forced into situations. So she would confide in me about things she probably wasn't supposed to. We had little conversations.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I knew that she was in hiding, if that makes sense, where none of my other little cousins would have been able to understand that.
Right.
So, in my opinion, she should have stayed in hiding. But as one, again, you start churching it away and thinking, oh, you know, he had lost his mother, and they start, oh, she can come out of hiding now. He's better now. Everything is okay. He's better. I, again, thought she was should have stayed away. We're at church. It's Mother's Day. We're all there, and he shows up to get baptized. And for me, there was like a weird chill that went down my spine. And I still remember the preacher saying, you know, and I think because he knew the situation, because a lot of the community of the church knew what had happened with her, and all of the beatings and the hiding and all of that stuff. So he goes, if you go into this water a devil, you're just going to come up a wet devil. I remember those words.
Shout out to that pastor.
He spoke it.
Truth.
And I know that he was talking, it was direct. My veins, but also direct to him. Like, just in case, we want you to know we know who you are, and this water's not going to change anything. But I'm looking at my grandmother, and she's just, you know what I mean? Like, you can see the hope in her eyes. In her eyes, he's changed. To me, I just chills the whole time. I was just disturbed by the whole situation. So he gets baptized, and she lets him have the baby after church, which she doesn't normally do because he says he's going to go visit his mother's grave. Mind you, his mother's passed. It's Mother's Day. She's made this allowance. I'm 12. I can't. I would like to say, please, no. I'm screaming on the inside. For whatever reasons, I just knew there's something. I've always had discernment from my own personal traumas as a child. So I can taste and feel when somebody is just not right. No matter what they're showing, you can't hide your spirit from somebody like me. So we're at grandma's house. We're hanging out. He has the baby. Luckily, my aunt and my grandmother got in a bit of a tiffle.
Tiff.
We drove her from Santa Monica to Burbank because that's where her car had broken down. So we had to drive her all the way to Santa Monica instead of going direct to Burbank. By the time we get to Burbank, the machine's going off. Hurry up. He's killed everybody. My mom, we didn't know the circumstances that surrounded exactly what happened. But by the time we pulled back up, because it took us another half an hour to get from Burbank back to South LA, he had killed her and my grandmother and then himself. And so when we walked away, giving them hugs and saying goodbye, we come back to them under sheets. AVDA will always be, the advocacy for me is twofold. One, when I came to AVDA, I was an advocate, obviously, for victims, and obviously for that reason, for my Aunt Yvonne and for my grandmother, who were lovely women. And you know what I mean? You walk in to have somebody take away two-thirds of your family after just being baptized. After, I mean, it's just a whirlwind of emotions. But AVDA not only does that, they rehabilitate harm doers. I don't know if you knew that.
So before, I have to say, I'm the former chair of the board. I know a lot. And I want everybody to understand, AVDA is legal services. You know, that's what they're doing, which is one of the most important things. You must get away legally. You know, you must have protection orders. You must have a lot of stuff.
For those who can't afford it, they provide legal services. And that's what people like myself and Lisa and other people, philanthropic measures that go into feeding AVDA, this machine that AVDA is, that is, I mean, they've changed, helped change laws. Again, the big program is the program that is for, to rehabilitate harm doers. And like I said, before I got here, I never thought to even lean into, to respecting that way of thinking.
But they've done that. And furthermore, they've gone out to, at all the athletic groups.
My son is
static
for the, yeah. when they do the teen, they have teen domestic violence.
Yes, they do.
Oh, that's
so
good.
He's gone to speak on that. High schools.
They are all over in basketball, so you know, with yeah. the Astros, with the Texans, yes. with the Rockets.
Yes.
Because these guys
Ugh.
Will really influence middle school boys.
Yes. Also, mm-hmm. they need their own influence.
Yes.
It's happening within their own
yes,
realms.
It is.
More and more.
Yeah.
Even the news we've talked about in the last couple of
yes.
days, the things that have happened here in Houston. And it's so hard to watch that the numbers are not going away
mm-hmm.
since 1993.
I mean, it's
and she died. My Auntie Yvonne died a year before Nicole Brown.
Wow.
So one day
oh my
I have
God.
This script. One day there will be a film where we're working on it. But the Violence Against Women Act was not intact when my aunt was murdered. So all of these women who were called, you know, had their restraining orders, and there was not a lot of follow up. There was not a lot of recourse. A year later,
and I have to say,
a public murder, and the world changed.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, hats off to the Brown family. My mom was actually on a talk show with them many years ago, and where my aunt's and my grandmother's story was presented. So, but again, if that Violence Against Women Act was there
before, it would be a different, yeah, completely different story. So how can people learn more about AVDA? So we think it's AVDATexas.org.
It's AVDATexas, or it's just AVDA. If I Google
I think
AVDA.
Yeah.
If you just Google it, try it real close.
Okay.
We can give people correct information.
And so while we're doing that, what would you say, I mean, how can people get involved? They're hearing this, and like you said, we just...
That Houston has dealt with, in the last 24 hours, there was a child who choked his father to death because he was attacking his mother in Katy. That was 45 hours ago. That was just 2 days. And then also the woman in Montrose, the restaurant owners, where he killed her and himself and two children and then himself.
Mm-hmm.
So Houston is fairly sensitive to these matters. Not that they weren't before that.
But
sometimes
when
things go largely to press and it's in your face, it's a drive.
It's
like
just
I said,
AVDA.org.
Cole Brown, who changed, just AVDA.org. Or just hit AVDA, I promise you.
Yeah, and then you can, we're on
and
the site now.
So again, I have to... We do the website. My company does the website.
Yeah.
And the most important thing on the website is there is a button where they can't...
donate?
No, not just a button to donate. They can't see that you've been there. It erases the history on your phone, on everything.
Yes, so that does keep victims safe.
Nobody's going to know.
Yes.
Right.
That is a wonderful...
Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, no, that's like... It's just, if
and
you bring it up, I'm just bringing
company.
It up right
No, that's
now.
Very important.
You know, you can do certain things. If you're in immediate danger, call 911.
Because
I mean,
everybody has ideas about what
right
it's like
there.
To leave. And everybody has ideas about what they would do in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
But until you're there... And until you witness it, especially, I mean, it depends on age, it depends on demographic, it depends on socioeconomic background, it depends on where you are financially, it depends on so many things if you're able to leave. And it's...
One in three women
will
experience domestic violence in their lifetime.
Yes.
One in three.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is like...
I think the murders are one in, I think it's every 29 minutes.
Well, supposedly what she found was one in...
Yeah.
At one domestic violence event, like murder, suicide, is every something like that happens every 5 days in Houston.
Oh,
I mean, in the United States.
In the States, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
it's the number one killer of women globally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we want you, thank you for sharing with us. I mean, that just means so much. I mean,
you're so welcome.
I'm
thank
like,
you for all that you do. And in the shadows of the philanthropic world, you're not just funny, and
I want to make a difference, and I have my buddy over here who does too, and so it's just
you
been a magical partnership for us. Yeah, we're not really here. We don't really care if you put our picture in the paper.
Okay,
we want the ultimate reward, and that's making changes.
Helping people,
and so for me, that was the lure for AVDA. I mean, a friend of mine went to be the development director. She was the fundraiser, and she asked me to do something with AVDA 10 or 12 years ago. I'm not even sure how long. And I stayed and stayed, and then merged my business into the board chair's business, which was just like,
you're
go
not going
figure.
Anywhere.
And he said, you have to come on the board. I said, isn't that double dipping? Well, no, because you're going to succeed me. Oh, okay. You know, like, So it's so deep for us.
Yeah.
You know, he was one of the first calls I got the other day when we heard about the murder-suicide.
It
went so deep for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he just wanted to know everything, if I knew anything. And I my first phone call, everybody, was to Myesha.
Yeah,
to the CEO of Abdi.
And, you know, she'd just done a thing for KHU. She was on the news.
Yeah, no, and I said to her, you know, help me. Help me. I've never dealt with anything like this. You know, I mean.
Yeah. You don't know how to.
No. And she just wants everybody to know.
She's so good.
She is so good.
Advocacy.
Yeah.
Of both harm doers and victims and their children. And so the constant fight in the court cases, which I've sat in on the classes and the cases where, you know, she's fighting. Like, not only is she the CEO, she is their head attorney. So she's going awesome.
Well, she was the head attorney. And so when we wanted to promote her to CEO, she was fighting us because she wanted to keep clients. And we're like, but obviously she kept some.
Any good lawyer wants to always fight.
Yeah, no, she wants to be in the game. And I can't say how lucky we are to have her and how lucky we've been to have you.
Yeah, thank
today.
You so much, T, for being here with us. It's been great. We appreciate it.
You guys always look this cute.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
I'm like, yeah.
Pretty cute.
I mean, I had to do this. Yeah, I was gonna be on camera. Normally, I won't. You know what I mean?
Okay, so can you give an extra hug to your precious son for me?
Well, both of them.
Both of your babies.
Because I haven't met the 14.
It's his birthday this weekend.
So fun.
On Mother's Day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Happy Mother's Day.
And it's also Mother's Day, which is a sad event for my family. So it's that weekend of a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Joy and sadness.
Well, I'm going to be sitting in the dusty gym in Alabama.
Oh, my God.
Hey, that's my life. The record has to keep spinning. He's 14. I'm almost done. And listen, when I'm done, I'll never be done.
Well, he's not in Alabama, though. You just picked him. He's here.
There's a tournament. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
In the middle of nowhere, Alabama. There's 3 sticks out there.
Well, you better pack a lunch, my friend. Sounds like you're going to be at what do you call it? Cracker Barrel?
Yeah.
Mother's Day dinner.
I promise you, we'll find something
at the gas station.
That
hot dog.
That is what we will do. Whatever they fry, we will be there to consume.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. And with that, we'll take a break.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super! You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew, or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now it's time to talk some business with Lisa Holland Nelson and Shavonna Robert Schreiber inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
Hello. I'm Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman Lombardi.
That's it.
With the giggle box next to me.
That's it.
She said, get your business voice on. This is our business segment. I'm the fashionista bio babe.
With great earrings on today.
We love these earrings.
Oh, so
they're
good.
Just my favorite. I have this horrible habit of buying a pair and wearing them for a month.
They're
straight.
So good. You know, like, they're so good. Okay.
We do love these. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I do all the things I usually do here at Culture Club HGX for the business segment. And I'm here with my beautiful, my beautiful best. Brilliant, black, bossy,
whatever.
Co-host, whatever.
Shavonna Robert Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world, the parliamentarian. And we're in business.
We got a big business week.
This is pretty good.
This is so exciting.
The first thing, best story in the segment. What's happening?
Houston is growing its own scientists, that one. TMC and Sanjak build the next biotech workforce.
And we don't mean AI scientists, we mean like actual humans.
The Texas Medical Center and San Jacinto College just signed a 2-year partnership to create a direct pipeline from Houston classrooms into careers in pharmaceutical and biomanufacturing, the industry behind life-saving drugs, cell therapies, and gene treatments. And I'm so thrilled because I have to start with talking about one of my favorite people in the world, Brenda Hellyer, who mm-hmm. runs San Jack and is on the board of the Greater Houston Partnership and has been given credit for really sealing the deal for Eli That's Lilly awesome. Moving to Houston. She is such a trailblazer, and to see this happen, this is a huge deal.
And one of the things that people, I agree, one of the things people may not know is that San Jacinto College is the second in the nation among community colleges and the first in biomanufacturing graduates already in the workforce.
Wow, that's
yeah,
amazing.
I didn't know that either.
I did not know that either, but this partnership is going to expand hands-on experiential learning and help TMC recruit the next wave of students into high-demand science careers because they're still high demand.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And the other thing as far as why this matters so much here in Houston is that now, so if you're a San Jacinto College student, you get this direct on-ramp to one of the highest growing industries, and you don't need a 4-year degree. I don't think people realize that. I mean, the demand is such, and the education curriculum they've worked out is not going to take you 4 years.
It's all everything fantastic. About it.
And so, in general, we always talk about people. Why do people move to Houston? I think it's things like this.
Oh, without a doubt.
People move to Houston because we continue to come up with these innovative ways to
upskill, empower,
and just new things that are needed. We don't just like cook up stuff that's like, oh, this is fun. It's like, no, we need this. And you have folks like your friend coming together with the Texas Medical Center and saying, let's do it.
And Bill McKeon, who is the president and CEO of the Texas Medical Center. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said the talent we need to advance therapeutic drugs, diagnostics, and cell and gene therapy is already here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen to that. No, that's great. I'm excited about this. Okay. So what's happening next in business? So Target, which is your favorite. Is that one of your favorite places?
You haven't
talked about Target that much.
Well, it's my, you know, I don't know if you all know this, but I should share this. Not that it's so much about business, but after funerals, people share what they call a meal of condolence.
We know. You go to Target.
I go to Target.
We've talked about
that. That's the most life-affirming thing. I mean, I was there this morning.
Is there a commercial for... this is a commercial for Target.
I don't even know.
We need to send it to them. So they just made Houston home to its most important new facility in the country. So they opened its first ever receiving center in the right here in Houston just last week.
Yes.
So $265 million, 1.2 million square foot supply chain hub, and it's over off the Sam Houston Parkway east.
So not even that far out.
No, and the whole idea is to help them stock their shelves faster. And I'm thinking this is in response to the Amazon effect, to be able to have product.
To keep
things.
Up with it, too, because that's really a problem right now. But the other cool thing is 185 new jobs.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's Houston, as we were just talking in the last conversation. We're just a going place.
And
We
keep moving and growing. And so turns out Target already has over 6,300 employees here in all the different stores. And so now this is another almost 200. So yeah, this is great. And we were chosen over other Texas cities. Take that, Dallas.
Yes, we were.
Specifically because of our port access and the central position between its Target's two coastal input warehouses in Washington State and in Georgia. So we are strategic. And strategic, but
their senior VP of field operations plainly.
Oh,
we want to hear what he said. Okay. It was really good.
Okay.
We could have chosen anywhere in Texas, but Houston is so important to us.
Why? Because we want to
grow.
We
want to grow in Houston specifically.
Because they want you to continue to come in.
Well, I'm probably the best customer they have.
You know, so back...
$100 a day makes you a big deal.
Well, here's the thing. No joke. So back in the day, so when CVS first launched their, like, extra care or whatever, I remember, because I'm like, all about it. So I got this thing that said, you're in the top 10% of extra care.
Yeah.
And that made me want to go there more.
Well, not only that, but who would go anywhere else when you had extra care?
Hello.
You know,
extra care points.
You're
going to get 10%. All the things.
And my daughter uses my extra care number wherever she
is. Oh, yeah. Smart. It's smart. It builds the bucks faster.
Yeah. And I'm not going to buy anything if I don't have a coupon. So there you go.
I mean, because why would
Training.
You?
We're training.
But why would you? You really think about it. Anyway, so I know you want to talk about McDonald's because that's one of your favorite
places. The owners are some of my favorite people, but you know.
Okay, so let's talk about
McDonald's. So you're McDonald's. Oh, this is incredible. Got to glow up. Fast food is coming for Starbucks. I don't know if you know this, but McDonald's is officially in the fancy drink business. Mm-hmm. Starting today, the chain is launching 6 crafted beverages at all U.S. locations, and it's the latest fast food giant making a serious play to pull customers away from Starbucks and Dutch Brothers.
Dutch Brothers is another like kind of like Dunkin' Donuts, etc. I will tell you this because this is important. So I've only been to McDonald's maybe 3 times in the past 25 years for coffee because their just plain coffee is actually quite delicious. Like, I don't know what
Starbucks?
No, McDonald's.
McDonald's? It
yeah,
is?
It is.
Well,
good.
Everybody's addicted to it.
It's but just the plain black coffee.
Yeah, people love it.
Frappuccino business. It's actually really, really good. Yeah. I think it's better than Starbucks. Like, the Starbucks coffee tastes burnt, and the heat's too high, I think, when they brew it. Seriously, just for a cup of black coffee, McDonald's.
Maddie Cadis, are you listening to this?
I'm telling you, it's crazy. And you know what? So then, of course, I still judge people because I walk into the McDonald's to buy the coffee because why wouldn't you? The line is wrapped around the
if you stay in your car, I know. It's like stupid.
But I go in there and I'm like, these people. Anyway, so if you haven't been to McDonald's, the coffee is
dress up a little because she could show up.
Well, I'm just like, hey, people, they're happy for you to come in there, I think.
I know.
Yeah,
well, right. I'm sure they are. I'm not talking about the McDonald's people. I was talking about the customers.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So I think we probably need to take a break.
Okay.
Because I don't think there are any other stories that we can talk about that won't get you like over, you know, out
I'm not
of your
talking
skin.
About Elon Musk and whatever his next big idea is. Goodbye.
Okay.
Talk later.
We'll be back.
We'll be back. I went through the pain zone.
At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
This is Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber.
And we're back.
Hi!
I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson Bowman Lombardi, co-host of Culture Club HTX, the fashionista, bio babe, Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who's never walked a sideline. And today, I'm here with my beautiful, blessed, brilliant, bossy black co-host.
Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world, and the parliamentarian. I thought you had another name.
I can't remember what it is.
Okay. Anyway, but it's not about us today. We have a great guest, another great guest.
I'm really beside myself over this guest. I've been waiting and waiting, and I'm so excited. Today, we're joined by Julie Kent, the co-artistic director of the Houston Ballet.
Who's also a Hall of Famer in ballerina land.
She is, yes. She's a legendary figure in the dance world. Julie is the longest serving ballerina in American Ballet Theater's history.
That puts you in the Hall of Fame.
It does, definitely.
I'll take it.
With a remarkable 30-year career performing leading roles across more than 100 ballets. She's worked with some of the most influential choreographers in the world and has brought ballet to a wider audience through film and global performances. Now she's in Houston. We got her. Yay. As the artistic director of the Houston Ballet, and she's helping lead the artistic version of one of the nation's premier ballet companies, shaping its future while honoring its rich legacy. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
So are you going to add Hall of Fame to your bio going forward?
Because you gave it to
me. Yes.
Yeah,
kind of she's the person.
Well, but you kind of are. Yes. That's fantastic. Okay, so first of all, 30-year career at the American Ballet Theater in the Hall of Fame, as we've already established. And we were talking just before we got on about whether or not you could go back and perform.
I want her to.
Lovely wants you to go back to perform.
Clapping.
But nevertheless, you had a long career. So what do you think sustained you? Because I take ballet not at that level, but I do. And so the level of excellence to be where you are, were, and to perform for that amount of time, what was it? Like, what is the secret sauce?
Oh, it's so many factors. And I think any, you could make a comparison to any long-standing athlete.
Yes.
So anyone that's played, whether it's football, baseball, any professional level mm-hmm. athletics for a long time, there's so many factors. It's the roles they play, the position they play. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was how I was cast and the roles that I was featured in. And having the kind of physicality where you are flexible but not too flexible, mm-hmm, where your flexibility and your strength are matched.
Mm-hmm.
The evolution of physical therapy, athletic trainers, all of that industry has developed over the last 30 and 40 years.
Yes,
so
for
all
sure.
of that supplemented a longer career, and you're going to see that in sports and in dance and in aging, keep people moving longer, mm-hmm. doing things
mobility.
Longer. So lots of factors.
So while you don't perform and you're not going to take Lovely's bid to go back on the stage now. Do you, for your own personal workout, do you still do movements like you said for mobility and flexibility that you learn while you were performing?
I am more involved in.
Like, I'm more involved in sitting on the couch.
Are you not working out?
I'm more involved in sitting on the couch loose.
I try to do some more sort of Tai Chi kind of.
Oh,
exercises.
That's good.
You know, anytime I start dancing, it's very hard to not have a professional mindset, and mm-hmm. everything is feels like it's like a deficit, you know?
Yes.
And that
oh,
doesn't
I
feel
see.
Good when
I
you're
see.
Like, I used to be able to do this, and now I can only do that.
Ah,
so it's more okay. motivating when you're doing something new, like I will swim or I will do all things, exercises that I didn't necessarily do while I was dancing because it feels
different. You're a novice in some of these things. That's
right. That's right.
Lovely.
Well, I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
You've worked with legends, mm-hmm. like really some of the most famous choreographers, greatest choreographers.
Can we say
in
their
the
names?
World.
Can you name drop, Julie? Finish your question. I'm just wondering. I mean, the answer may be no.
What did those collaborators teach you about artistry and discipline?
Oh, well, that's a great question. And there, you know, I feel like in my career, I was so blessed and privileged to work with so many great mm-hmm. People that had all invested in me. They all taught me so much.
Mm-hmm.
They all were invested in my success.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's great.
Among those things were, you know, I had kind teachers because everybody makes mistakes. And when you start a career when you're 16 years old, you really don't know what you're doing. You know,
right.
you know what you learned in school, what you learned at home. But there's going to be mistakes, and
yes.
then people that, if you're lucky, you have kind teachers that, whether it's about professionalism or whether it's about staying focused or whether it's about, you know, working a little harder or resting a little more, mm. you know, or, you know, reaching for the ring. Or, I mean, there were so many life lessons and professional lessons that I learned from so many different people that helped grow my perspective and grow my love for my art form and all of that I take
I have
me.
A book idea for you. It just came to me.
Oh, do tell.
Let's
on
do
point.
Oh.
You see? Isn't
that's
that good?
Right.
That's
yeah,
actually
that's
good.
Very good.
And I mean, because it's what you were just saying about it take, first of all, it takes all of these things. It's not just one thing that made you be able to have such a long career. Then you talked about the people who were invested in your success. And I'm just thinking this, it's like everything was on point.
Without a doubt. And mm-hmm. she's not at home laying on the couch right now.
She's doing
I mean,
Tai Chi,
let's
people.
Talk about this extraordinary
yes.
transition from
yes.
performer to leader. I mean, for, you know, for someone, I mean, you've transitioned from being on stage to leading from behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
What surprised you most about stepping into the artistic leadership role?
Right.
Are you nice? I'm joking.
I think,
she's like,
I think we all who are who we are, you know. And
that's not an answer.
That's something I would say. I like her.
That sounds like you.
That sounds like me. I'm like, you know,
yes,
none of your business.
You have to lead with authenticity, otherwise people see.
Right.
Through you. Yes. And so nobody's one thing. But do I care a lot about all the people I work with? And do I love and am I committed to? And do I believe in my art form? Absolutely, yes. Okay. So those are the things that are underpinning my leadership. What have I learned? Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like
been surprised
my
by.
Whole career has been a learning opportunity, mm-hmm. growth opportunity. Mm. Surprises. It's not so much it's about a quote-unquote surprise. I think it's your perspective grows. Mm. Perspective changes. Mm-hmm. As the mindset of a dancer or athlete or artist is generally so specifically focused on mm-hmm. your profession, your game, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Your place in
your
it.
Your place, yes.
Yeah, like, yes.
And then when you transition to
having to do
others,
the big picture.
Your perspective yeah. grows immensely. And so you learn about the perspective of a board member, perspective of a patron, perspective of colleagues, all the different departments, all of the we. There's collective leadership in any really successful organization.
I agree with that.
And all of that is a huge growth opportunity coming from an environment where you're very, very focused on yourself or yourself and your partners, the people
yes.
that you're immediately dancing with. And so that's been great and exciting.
So yes. Tell me this. Can we go back a moment?
Yes.
When did you know that you were going to be a Hall of Fame ballerina?
Well, you know, I
like what age? Seriously. I mean, that had
you're working towards that from the time you're probably put on your first pair of pointe shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the reality of, I mean, how many children play soccer or Little League and get on a professional baseball
team? Well, this is why I'm asking
right?
you.
So you want it, but it's not, you don't know you're actually going to get it.
But when did you know?
When I got my job.
Like, when it happened.
And I was in high school. I was in my it was October of my junior year in high school, and Baryshnikov offered me a contract as an apprentice.
Was it really a surprise? Like,
yes,
legit.
I went to a big audition with 300 people and had the number pinned on my leotard, and you know, it was a big, huge audition, and I got a job, and then I was like, I guess this is.
So, did you get to dance with him?
Yes, he was my boss for 5 years. We started a movie together. Started a couple of movies.
What was your number? I'm into numbers.
I don't remember.
It was 8.
Is that crazy?
I
get to meet him when he was traveling after he really wasn't doing ballet. He was doing modern.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
In Princeton,
yeah,
he came.
Yeah, went on to a great career.
Yeah, yeah. And Laura got they got to dance with him, some of the girls in,
yes,
at Princeton Ballet. But he was lovely. I mean, we got to have a private dinner with him. And
how
it was
wonderful.
Well, for me, I mean.
Well, you think everybody's lovely. Wasn't
well,
really
no,
lovely,
I don't. But I think Nureyev and Baryshnikov are. Yeah, yeah.
This one, I like her. Okay. She won't say. Yeah. She's like very precise
He's
in her
a
language.
Game changer. And so people that change how things were and then how things are, like, you got to give them that.
And he was on Sex in the City at the time. So, hey.
Hey, that makes him lovely. That makes him lovely in a
well,
different
for
way.
For me, I was like, hello. You know? So, I want to talk about Houston. A lot of things about Houston.
Yes.
We are a diverse
oh
cultural city.
I'm
sure you know this, but I get to say it anyway.
I can't wait to hear
largest
it.
Number of theater seats outside of Manhattan.
Yes. So
I
proud
mean, that,
of that
is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And that's been a fact for 27
yep.
years.
Nothing
since
new.
I started researching coming back to mm-hmm. Houston. And my friends in New York City were going, what?
Yes.
You're the big what? Are
yes.
you kidding? So anyway, so how have you found being here? I mean, what has been the highlight of our diverse culture for you?
First of all, I love it. And the highlight are the people. The people are always what makes anything worthwhile.
True. I couldn't agree with you more,
and,
of course.
And the people here are extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
My family and I have all loved, like, it was immediately, we were just happy here. The people are so welcoming.
That's awesome.
We have wonderful neighbors. The Houston Valley community is extraordinary.
I agree
the
with you.
The ambition here, the energy, the drive, the, you got a good idea.
Let's make it happen.
And none of this, like, skepticism and all the reasons why it shouldn't work or you shouldn't do that. It's just exciting, driven, and it's just a joy, a thrill to work here and live here. And
well, we're really glad you are here.
We are.
Well, thank
you. I have to say that.
So one of the things that we open with, and Lovely said, and she was reading your bio about how you're honoring the classical, but also doing these new and innovative things.
Yes.
So how do you do that here at the Houston Ballet, and how do you plan to continue to do that?
Right. Well, one of the things that aspects of Houston Ballet that makes it such a dynamic and interesting company is obviously the repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of the repertoire is the creative product of my co-artistic director, Stanton Welch,
mm-hmm.
who is one of the world's most prolific and most loved choreographers. We are contemporaries. We're the same age. We worked together originally in 2001,
wow.
I guess. It was right after 9/11. And so he has been the artistic director of Houston Ballet. This is his 23rd season. So I'd like to say that for his 20th anniversary present, he got me.
I like that.
I bet he was happy about it.
When's your birthday? This is like my twin over here. No wonder. Y'all like hit it off. She's great. Okay, keep going.
So, so this is his choreography, his work. He's prolific. He has so many incredibly interesting ballets that some are classical, some like one that we premiered in March is contemporary to Mason Bates' Darius King.
Hmm.
So he's just has this all these ideas, and so our repertoire is very reflective of that. We have programs, full-length classical ballets, and then equal a number of programs where we create opportunity for Stanton's work and new choreographers. So we have this wonderful Alice Topp, who is an Australian choreographer, coming to create a piece for us, and that's premiering next month. Mm. And then we have, you know, iconic works by choreographers like Jerome Robbins and Balanchine and Sir Kenneth McMillan. Next season, we have Manon, Lar Lubavitch's Meadow, which is a piece he created at ABT during my years there. Stanton's choreographing a new treatment of Alice in Wonderland entitled Where's Alice? So that's premiering in March of 27.
For my birthday. It is for my big birthday.
Let's make a party and dress up and I'll go.
Yeah. I think
Yay!
So.
Yes.
Okay, we've been talking about this. So just one quick question. Do you have to have been a ballerina or choreographed something to be a choreographer now?
A choreographer.
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 Well,
I was trying to make it all work.
Yes, in a way that you have to have a movement vocabulary.
But like a physical movement vocabulary.
Yes, you have to.
So we can't be guest choreographers, no?
No.
Okay. I just was curious.
I mean, you could be a guest
choreographer
for a dance party. Like, if you wanted to do Alice
We definitely
Wonder,
could do
Alice,
that. That's
Where's
right
Alice
up our
dance
alley.
Party, then you guys can be guest choreographers.
I was just asking.
Well, people are going to pay to watch somebody dance their stuff, and you kind of...
Maybe.
Yeah. There's expectations, and she thinks we may not meet them.
Maybe.
Okay. What is your vision going forward for Houston Ballet over the next few years?
Oh.
I mean, what do you hope to achieve?
What I hope to achieve, I mean... Basically, we're building on the shoulders of giants. What's already been at Houston Ballet over the past 55 years or more has already been, a part exactly reflective of the artistic growth of the city, the cultural growth of the city. It's just... It's a leader. It's an industry leader, Houston Ballet, already. So where do Stanton and I want to take it going forward? The sky's the limit. I think when you believe in an art form, the transformative power of the art form so deeply, what you want is for as many people as possible to experience that. And so how do you reach, how do you introduce a city like ours, which some of them already know and love Houston Ballet, but there's so many that don't.
Right.
So how do you reach them? How can you capture their imagination? How can you make coming to see Houston Ballet feel like home to everyone? So diverse programming, Where's Alice or Giselle or Swan Lake or some new ballet that is a
Her
world
heart's
premiere.
Beating. She's like, be still my heart.
I did two things growing up. I swam and I danced ballet, you know. I mean,
and it changed I didn't your have, life, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Changed my life.
Absolutely
I still sit
life.
Up straight.
And so,
you know, like it's part of my life, posture, all the things.
And so not just what happens on when the curtain goes up and goes down, which, I mean, the power of art is that it can change you, right? And but it's the education aspect. You don't even have just the impact of going to study dance every day and dressing a certain way, like putting on the shoes and putting the tights and putting your hair up, and everybody's on the same page, and you're listening to the teacher and you're listening to the musician, and you're respectful of yourself, self-respect, and then community respect, and for that period of time, you're it's the divine reach, like you're reaching for something, like the best version of yourself, the best version of us, and that's, you know, that's another sort of superpower of the arts. And so, you know, we have in our mission, we have so many different arms where we can inspire and bring people into this power of our art form, and that's really what we hope for.
So, final question.
Yes.
For someone who hasn't experienced the Houston Ballet, what would surprise them about the company? Or better question, what would you want them to feel?
At home. That you're coming home. That you, when the curtain goes up, you're discovering something. Maybe you've never seen it before, but it was like watching nature's beauty, you know, like when you watch waves in the ocean, or you watch the sunrise or sunset, you're seeing basically the human form express and evolve and reach for something that is so inspiring. And, you know, I used to do that and I don't anymore, but when I watch it, that's the awe. It leaves you just sort of awe inspired. And that would be, I would want somebody to feel at home and that they leave feeling inspired by humanity, like what we all have the possibility to be able to do.
And contribute.
That's
right. Others.
And we do it together. You know, it's
in
a shared
community.
Experience.
That's good. Yeah. So how do people find out more about the ballet, including the schedule upcoming?
Yeah, houstonballet.org.
Can they email you directly? I'm just joking. I'm joking because I already know your answer.
She gives out cell phone numbers. Well, so be careful.
I just met her and I already know her answer. She just pauses. Are you going to run for a? Are you going to be a politician? Because you're like very diplomatic in your responses. You are.
We could have a chief arts officer in Houston. We may have one, but
we
need another.
Who
we do?
One. Yes.
Who is it? Who is it? I can't remember.
She's newly appointed.
I think I know this and.
Okay, anyways. Well, we're going to take a break and figure that out. But it has been fantastic to have you here.
Thank you.
I feel inspired.
Do you?
Yeah, of course. I'm like, I love this lady.
Yeah.
I just met you. So, houstonballet.org.
Yes.
And the schedule, I think I got something in the mail. So, the schedule is already out for 27, correct?
Yes, but we still have performances from the end of May all the way through to June 21st.
Oh, okay. So there's time.
Have full-length Giselle.
Plenty to see.
2 weekends of that. And then we also have a beautiful mixed repertory evening, which is sometimes great for people that may be new to ballet because it has something on the program for everyone. So it has
you see me over here?
Yes.
See, I could be a choreographer.
It has
see?
A Jerome Robbins piece to
Chopin
music.
Yeah,
it has the world premiere, which is very contemporary by Alice Topp from Australia. And then it has a beautiful piece that Stanton made a few years back to Mozart music.
And what are the dates for that?
That opens
is in June?
in May.
Oh, okay. So this month.
Yes.
So
end
Houston.
Of May to the end of June. We still have 4 weekends at the Wortham Center.
And then you're off until September?
No, then we're back. We have a few weeks of a break, and then we're back in rehearsal preparing for next season at the end of July.
Okay.
Very
yes.
Good. HoustonBallet.org. Go ahead.
Yes, that's it. And then have me back. We'll talk more about next season.
Okay.
Awesome.
We're We're up for that.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Of course, I don't even want you to leave.
Oh,
but,
my God. Hey. We have to take a break now. And with that, we'll be back.
Bye.
So good.
Then you're left in the dust. Unless I stuck by you. You're a sunflower.
Do you love listening to Siobhana and me talk about all the things every Sunday here? Do you ever wish you could see what we're laughing about so much? Especially what Magical's laughing about? You're in luck. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and see the fun clips and outtakes from the show, as well as our super special series, Friends by the Fireplace, that we release every Friday. Finding us on YouTube is easy breezy. Type Culture Club HTX and voila, you're in.
It's Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhana Robert-Schreiber.
Hello, I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson, Bowman Lombardi, fashionista, bio babe, Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who never walked a sideline, and co-host of Culture Club HTX here with my beautiful, brilliant, best, bossiest, blackest.
Oh, now I'm the ist. Okay.
I isted you. I just decided that you deserved it.
That's fine. Siobhana Roberts-Robert, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world, the parliamentarian. And we are in fashion, fitness, wellness, and we have a fun guest.
I am so excited.
Bio babe. Who's here with us today?
Today we're joined by Edward Sanchez.
Hello.
Houston-based celebrity makeup artist, beauty entrepreneur, and the man known as the Brow Whisperer. Huh. With more than 35 years in the industry, Edward has worked with icons like Betty White, Joan Rivers, and Janet Jackson.
Real icons.
Even prepping her for the Super Bowl halftime show. You
when the
all remember, yeah. I was there. His signature brow technique earned recognition from both Vogue and Allure, and his client list includes some of Houston's most well-known names. Today, he leads a growing beauty empire with multiple brands and locations all rooted right here in Houston. So, first question, welcome, Edward.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I know both of you very, very well.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited.
So, you looking
be
at us makes
years
me really
ago.
Nervous.
Oh, yeah, that's silly.
It does.
It makes you nervous.
You know, there's one thing in my mind, actually, because, you know, I go to the grocery store and I, you know, live my life as well outside of work.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And it turns off. Like it's shut.
Does it really?
Yes, thank God.
Mine doesn't.
Yeah.
Mine doesn't.
I
have a pillow on my bed that says better late than ugly.
There you go.
It never turns
off. So funny.
You know, like seriously. Anyway.
But both of you look amazing. So,
well,
I mean, I don't know
you.
What
thank
that.
Yeah. I'm not nervous. She says she's nervous. I was like, no, I have no concern. Okay, so let's talk about this. You knew at 5 years old that beauty was going to be your world.
Well,
talk to us about that.
Yeah, I didn't know that beauty was my world, but it was surrounded me.
Okay, so say more.
So I was born into a family of beauty queens. So
hello.
At a very young age, my aunts were competitors in Miss Texas and Miss USA.
Wow.
And so one of my aunts became Miss Texas, the first Hispanic Miss Texas.
Wow.
In the system. And so they loved it. They loved the dresses. They loved the interview. They loved the walking. And my mother's side of the family, they're from Spain originally, their bloodline. So they're very tall and very thin. And very, you know, long
Spanish.
Black, very Spanish looking. Mm-hmm. And so they're just very gorgeous. And of course, they're going to be Miss Texas. Or
yeah,
Miss
I mean, hello.
How fabulous.
So I grew up around that. And invariably with that, you know, I was the gopher. Edward, go bring me the
go
mascara.
Go give me this. Go do this.
Edward, bring me the hairspray. And it's always the wrong
one. As you're
one.
In there doing your...
Yes.
You know, it's
yes.
Like, I brought the wrong...
the wrong
no,
boy.
Not this one. Not
right.
The not the thickening. Bring me the lengthening mascara.
Oh, my goodness.
Not the super hard spray. The flexible hold, you know, like... It was always, so I began to learn. It's kind of like being born into a family of lawyers
mm-hmm.
or a family of mechanics.
Yes.
It's just the jargon that's around
mm-hmm,
you, and
mm-hmm.
you just learn.
Yeah.
So when did you know then, when you're like, okay, one, you learned because you were just surrounded by beauty, literal beauty queens, but that you were going to turn this into a career?
No. Okay. That's a really quick question because I just finished paying for my school loans actually last month. I spent 35 years paying for my school loans, and I have a biochemistry degree. I have a nursing degree and I have a psychology degree.
That's a good combination.
Cosmetology license.
Wow. That's a good combination.
So I was searching for myself for a very, very long time.
Yeah, you know you're going to be the therapist to anyone you ever talk to.
That's what I mean. Like, that's actually a good combination. Consider. Yeah.
So I've been searching for myself. But with that being said, I think it was a time when I was working, I want to say it was in Dillard's during Christmas break during school. And one of the makeup artists didn't show up to do a bride's makeup.
Ooh.
And she in tears. And I was actually a fragrance model. I must have been about, I don't know, 19, 20 years old. And she was in tears and they didn't know what to do. Everybody was scrambling around. They didn't know who to get. No one knew what to do. And I walked up to her like nothing. And I said, I've done my aunt's makeup for Miss Texas 100 times. And so I said, I'll do your makeup. Like, I've done it. Sit down. And I sat her down and dried her tears and started doing her makeup and showed her makeup, and she loved it. And the manager on the spot said, do you want a makeup artist job?
And what'd you say? Yes.
And he said, it pays a lot more than what you're doing now. And I said, okay.
Wow. That's like that. You were discovered.
So I guess
I was. Yeah, you were discovered. So let's talk about this. One of your claim to fame are brows, right? Like you're the brow whisperer, in fact, according to Vogue.
Yes.
So,
and
Allure. Mm-hmm. Hello. Mm-hmm. So how did you get this brow whisperer title? Like, what led to that?
You know, in my career, I was actually working a lot of retail. And so for me, the retail that I wanted to work was Neiman Marcus. Neiman Marcus is the holy grail for me.
Yeah, that's where I started.
Oh,
I gotcha.
Yes. And so I went through Dillard's. I went through Foley's. Mm-hmm. I did
shout
corporate
out to Foley's.
Yes, absolutely. I met Jenny Gerwitch at Foley's. Mm-hmm. I met Ros Pachter. I met so many wonderful people who are absolutely fabulous. And that helped me and that I wanted to emulate because they were so amazing what they did. Mm-hmm. And so in the sidelines, I'm kind of just watching and looking, but I finally made my way into Neiman Marcus, into the Holy Grail, what I thought was like, oh my goodness. And I learned in beauty school how to thread. And I learned from...
You threaded me.
Yes.
You did.
I know like... how to thread, but I do a process where I use my fingers only. I don't use a process where I put the
thread in your mouth. Yeah, yeah.
So I actually use my fingers. And so I would do it at Neiman Marcus because some of the ladies would walk up and their eyebrows were just a mess. It was just a tragedy.
And it frames your face.
They wanted their eyes done. And I was like, you can't do your eyes unless your eyebrows are done. This is not going to work. And so some people would take out a pair of tweezers, but tweezers could pinch the skin.
Yes.
And that's extremely painful. Mm-hmm. So with the thread, I could do it really quickly, really accurately, and really beautifully. Mm-hmm. And they were all astonished. And so I was like, people would stop in the middle of the mall. And this is before there was any threading bars or any threading salons or anything like that. And they would stop and stare.
Wow.
And it would be
Watching you.
Watching me do this. And so, a lot of it was not only because I could do it, but because I was a man doing it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because in the countries that they did it, it was only women allowed to do it on other women.
Interesting.
So the women that were from India or Iran or wherever they were from the Middle East, they would see me as a man and they were like, oh, fascinated. Mm-hmm. Like, how does he know how to do this?
Mm-hmm. You're like, my aunt's a beauty queen.
How did you learn?
My aunt's Miss Texas people.
I was in beauty school, and beauty school, there was an Iranian woman who, Persian, actually. Mm-hmm. She was a Persian woman that told me that everybody in our culture needed to learn this.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her very puzzling, and I said, okay, I'm not a Persian. I'm Hispanic. But I just agreed with her, and I shook my head, and so I learned.
So, I mean, because until we were out at somebody's house, I don't even remember where it was, like when I was just here 20 years ago at least.
Yes.
And it was the first time I ever heard of it.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting that you lived in New York and you never heard of threading.
Never heard of threading.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about this. So let's talk about the celebrities. So you've worked with all these major celebrities. I mean, Betty White, come on, it's like great. So what is the difference? I think people don't understand this between red carpet beauty and everyday confidence beauty. Like what is the difference other than like, you know, product? more product?
Well, you know, a lot of people focus on the product. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people focus on seeing what they see in the mirror to make themselves look better.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. it's not about that. It's never been about that for me. It's about making the person feel better.
Ah, and make them
okay. Your attitude comes through.
Correct. Yeah. It's to make them stand taller and feel better and more confident. So is it because you have dark circles? Is it because you have spots? Is it because you don't see your eyebrows? You want bigger eyes, bigger lips, you know, softer skin. Mm-hmm. What do you want to see? What can we achieve for you to make you feel more confident about yourself?
I love that.
So that way, when you walk into the room, you light up the room. Because it's not really about the makeup. It's the attitude that you're going to bring along with it. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. This is that psychology degree
there
coming out. There you go.
There you go.
Well, it's so important. Can I just go back to eyebrows for a second?
Yeah.
I want to talk about the signature technique. You developed your 4D eyebrow method.
Yes.
Break that down for us in real terms. And what are most people getting wrong about their brows today? I have an idea, but I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, I see a lot of people, and they actually they do some amazing work on Instagram. And I see these beautiful eyebrows on Instagram, and I see all of this microblading and tattooing and all of this stuff. And then they come see me in real life, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Because when you look at things on your phone is only – it's very flat. It's very one-dimensional.
Right.
And so for me, I was like, you can't create an eyebrow unless you bring it into three dimensions or even four dimensions. So first thing that you have to do is map the eyebrow. Okay. You have to measure the person's bone structure to their eye shape. Yes, exactly. And so there's not only the three points of the eye, but there's other points as well that you need to respond to, which is the height of the eyebrow, the length of the eyebrow. And there's a lot of different other points that you have to make as well when you're doing mapping. And a lot of people don't use it, which is surprising to me.
Shocking.
It's shocking. Color, number two. A lot of the eyebrows can be faded. A lot of times people are putting on skincare on their skin, and they're putting on this beautiful skincare that makes them look younger. It helps exfoliate damage. It helps to get rid of wrinkles. But all of the skincare, every piece of skincare in the world that we use now, it works on dead skin cells, and it removes dead skin cells. What is hair? Hair is keratin and dead skin cells.
So that's why our eyebrows get so thin.
You take your moisturizer and you start rubbing it on your face.
Who does that?
Everybody. They just put it on their face.
Yeah. Marla, you need to help these humans.
It. Guess what's going to happen to your eyebrows? They're going to fade away. And people don't realize it. If you like eye cream, you're going to take a little bit of eye cream. If a little is good, then a lot is better. Because that's what I think. A lot is better. Then you go to bed at night. Where do those lashes lay? Right on top of that cream. Guess what's going to happen? The cream doesn't know the difference between skin cells on your face and skin cells in your lashes or dead skin cells. So it's just going to fade away. The number one selling product, the biggest billion-dollar industry right now in cosmetics is eyebrow and eyelash regrow formulas. Their tubes are only this big.
And they're $500.
And they're like $500. Mm-hmm. And they claim that they can grow your eyelashes and eyebrows back. But guess what? Those are the same companies that make the creams that are making your eyebrows fall out to begin with.
You see what's happening here?
I don't think they really
So I'm just saying, I'm writing a new book, and I'm putting it in it, and if I disappear tomorrow, you know what happens.
Oh, that is hilarious.
So we went through two, right, of the 4D that we're going to talk about, because we're talking about eyebrows.
Right.
Well, but go ahead, Ludlum.
Well, I just wanted to get to the really worst things that we do, because I have one that just makes me crazy.
Tell me about it.
Eyebrows. That's the therapist.
Well, I think, and granted, I had a lot of background in fashion for years and years and years. So I don't even remember. I might have been, I don't know. I was a kid because everybody was still using number two pencils. And I remember putting one up like this, and your eyebrow needs to come that to there.
Well, that's what he's talking about, mapping.
Noticed that the older people get, the further out they get. So maybe it is part of mapping.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, they're not mapping.
And that's a great...
But how do you make them understand?
That's a great point. So many people will take that first point and they go on the outside of their nose, the nostril, and they use that as the first point. Or they use the tear gland as the first point. And that's wrong. You want as much length as possible to mm-hmm. open up the eye open and to the arch eye. The eye. So you use the tip of the nose to arch that eyebrow.
Yeah.
And so you try to grow that hair as much as possible. But I'm going to tell you, 99% of the women out there have either waxed it off, yeah. tweezed it off, or yeah. shaved it.
Hard now, can they do implants?
Yes. I mean, there's implants. There's a lot of doctors out there that do implants. And when I had my salon in Beverly Hills right next to Anastasia,
mm-hmm.
I tell you, me and Anastasia, we were
went round and round.
We were buddies.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it at that. Uh-huh. And they would come in because, you know, we developed brow smoothing, which is mm-hmm. a keratin treatment for hair yeah. to help soften the hair so it will lay down, because transplanted hair is like hair in your head.
Yeah.
It grows
wild.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So you have these bushy eyebrows now
right.
and you need to tame them.
Right.
And so we developed that back in 2015.
Wow.
Okay, so you are not just the brow whisperer,
okay.
but you've built this entire empire. Okay. So let's talk to us about this voyage that you are on currently in entrepreneurship. And, for example, there's the book that you made. But like, talk to us about like what how did this all come to be? So makeup, then brow whisperer, and now beauty empire.
Yes.
So walk us through that.
Well, you know, it wasn't ever my goal. I mean, that wasn't my goal when I was at Neiman Marcus, was to own my own salon
mm-hmm.
and to have services and to create services mm-hmm. and to create my own products. That was never my goal.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of time during COVID.
And you were productive.
And to sit down with yeah. my biochemistry degree
Hello.
And figure out what I needed to create and yes. how I needed to make yeah. it. So it's just kind of years of accumulation that just kind of built itself mm. and created its own entity. But I just kind of felt like there's a space missing out in the market. You go to Ulta and you go to Sephora and there's a lot of different companies you go to. I worked at some of the biggest ones, Neiman Marcus, mm-hmm. Saks Fifth Avenue, Foley's, and you're overwhelmed by so many different things. Not one blush, 500 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not one foundation, 700 of them. Not one mascara, thousands of them. Which one's the better? Which one's mm-hmm. the best? Which one's healthier? Which one's going to give you what you want?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a journey. And it's a journey for every woman or man, if they choose to wear makeup.
Sure.
But for me, it was about creating something that would be holistic, something mm-hmm. that would be something that would be natural for the women to use on themselves
mm-hmm.
to boost their confidence.
Yeah. Not like I'm going to get my makeup done, but I'm able to do my own makeup and finish with the product that I feel confident
Correct.
About. I love that. So let's talk about our Houston style, in addition to what Lovely says about people not mapping their eyebrows properly. So we have a specific style, polished but bold. But how
really
would you
bold sometimes.
What do you mean?
Over the top.
Over the top. Do you? I was just in Miami. I think Miami has over the top. I think we're like, okay, but what do you say? You're the expert here. What's Houston's makeup
let's start with
archetype?
Let's go to makeup. Let's start with lashes.
As he scratches his brow.
Are they crazy?
Let's start with lashes.
Have you seen lashes in Houston? Have you seen some?
I try not to.
Exactly. I've seen some wonderfully architected eyelashes in Houston that are like, these have got to have scaffolding to hold them up on people's heads.
They're so
like,
huge.
They're just humongous. Yeah. And I'm in awe of like, these must have taken hours and hours of not only the person laying there, but the artist that actually had to install these. But then,
and they're installed. They're not on the strip.
Exactly. They're installed.
Yeah, they're
and you've
installed.
Got to do it every week uh-huh. to 2 weeks.
Well, they pull out.
So what do you think? Let's talk about that. Okay, so that's one thing, lashes. But because I have a question about that. I want to get your opinion. Yes. But how else would you describe the style if you were to continue?
Well, I mean, the style is going to be based on the woman. And mm-hmm. and
we are so many diverse women.
We're
here.
Such a diversity.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're such a diversity. And we've got ladies that are going, you know, they go to work and they got kids and they're picking up kids and they're going to, you know what I mean?
hopefully you're picking them up.
Yeah, hopefully it's picking them up.
You have them. I hope you go pick them up.
And then afterwards, you know, then they got things they have to do too. They get a babysitter or somebody looks after them and they're going out. They've got a network meeting or they've got to do something mm-hmm. with work and they got to get dressed and then do it all again the next day. We've got other ladies who, you know, are philanthropists and they have beautiful homes in River Oaks and raise money for nonprofits and are able to buy expensive gowns and travel the world and do all sorts of wonderful things. But in all, it all boils down to making that person feel confident
mm-hmm.
in any situation that they're in
mm-hmm.
and appropriate. because you don't wear wedding makeup to the gym.
Hello.
And you don't wear gym makeup to a wedding.
No. Please say that again.
I think we've lost
that. Rewind that. Listen to that again.
What'd you say?
I said rewind that and listen to that again. Yeah, well, because I do. I think people just in general, clothing, makeup, there is a appropriateness that needs to be taken into consideration. Okay, so, lovely, I thought you were...
35 years.
35?
No, what was it again? Oh, what's the best mascara I was going to ask?
Oh, yeah, I was saying, yeah, I knew you had a question for eyes.
That was one.
So, you know, I'm a biochemist, so I go to formulas. Okay. So I love so many different mascaras.
Me
but
too.
You have to know the dirty side of that. And that mascara is made out of carnauba wax. Mm. Do you know what carnauba wax is?
Nope.
Carnauba wax is car wax or shoe polish.
That's what I thought.
That's okay. What it is. Yeah. So for years and years and years, the cosmetic industry has used this beautiful wax that's super shiny and dries super quickly for your lashes to make them look super, super black and super shiny.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think it does to your lashes?
Breaks them.
Breaks them down and makes them fall out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard hundreds of women say, for years and years, they say, when I was younger, I had a beautiful set of lashes. I can remember I had all of these lashes when I was a young girl.
I had all these lashes.
But now, 10 years later,
I ain't got no lashes.
I have no lashes. Oh, you know, God. Between the moisturizers, between the mascara, they start to fade. So that's my question to you is, do you want for the moment or do you want to feed your lashes for tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've gone through a million stages in my life. And at one point, honestly, I was using Vaseline. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I wasn't using mascara.
Right.
I had a lot of my daughter's eyelashes are like the ones the little boys get. You know what I mean? They're absolutely. So fabulous. And now, well, I don't know, honestly, I probably want to look good today. Yeah. I think I'm not worrying too much
today,
about tomorrow.
Today, some great products that you can use. A Benefit has a really great mascara that's lengthening and thickening made of silicone.
Oh.
And it is water resistant, not waterproof.
Okay.
Waterproof's really hard to get off, so you rub extra hard, so it promotes the breakdown of them. Now, there is another formulation that's coming out of the market, and we created it as well. We're not the only ones. We didn't invent it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a mascara made of beeswax.
Okay, this
and
is good.
Beeswax is a naturally occurring, just in nature, antiviral, antibacterial substance.
Right, so that's good.
So it is an amazing base for a mascara. And our mascara is just so velvety, so smooth. It's so beautiful.
Can we buy that now?
Well, yes, you can.
Where can people buy that now?
Well,
and all the other products in the empire.
So a lot of our collection is carried at the casinos. We actually have a partnership with Golden Nugget. And we're actually with Caesar's Palace now.
Oh, which good for you. Congratulations. So I'm never going to go to those places, so where can I get the mascara?
Or you can get them at my salon, which is at Arch Beauty.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to go there.
Which we are located on I-10 and Echo Lane, right between Campbell and Bunker Hill.
Yes.
Over in Spring Branch Memorial area. So look
and
us
say
up,
it again.
Arch Beauty.
Arch, like eyebrow arch. You see what he did there?
But include beauty, Arch Beauty, and come see us.
Okay. Is it online? Can you buy it online?
Not yet. Because we have a partnership with the casinos and they want that first. And
so
I allowed them to do that first.
And let's do a little fun kind of in our last couple minutes.
Okay.
Quick hit. Best brow advice in one sentence.
Ooh, best brow advice in one sentence would be don't touch them.
Okay.
Only let
magical
professional touch them.
One beauty trend that should never come back.
Oh, my goodness.
Clutch of the pearls.
Oh, my goodness. Bottom eyelashes.
You think, huh?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think
said
we could
dark
do...
lip liner.
No,
darker than
so
your
many
lipstick.
Well, not probably not for you.
Yeah.
But
the dark with the mauve lipstick.
Yeah, probably not for you. But for some people, it works.
Well, but also people don't know how to apply it. Because it shouldn't be like this line of demarcation.
Right. There shouldn't be like a whole line. You're
like some of it is application. Okay, one beauty trend that should stay.
Forever.
Forever and ever. Amen.
I'm a classic. I love like Breakfast at Tiffany's and that eyeliner that she wore.
You're welcome.
Yes. Oh, there you go. That cat eye.
You're welcome.
That gorgeous. Actually, your makeup looks good.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
You know,
look at you.
I listen and I learn.
There you go. And your makeup's always on point.
Well, because I had one makeup artist in my life. It was you. So I'm glad that you like it. Bad for you because it's 20 years later.
Well, here's the other thing. So we didn't talk about this, but I think this is important. We live in 2026 where you can find, you can YouTube anything. So some of these things, people can go and learn how to do it better, how to map your brow, how to blend things properly. Like you can go and learn how to do this in the comfort of your own home. So are there any sites or thing? I mean, do you do any tutorials? Do you ever do classes?
We are going to start, but I'm going to tell you my forte is really not just doing the technique, but color matching you.
Well, even that, helping people figure that out.
But figuring out your summer, spring, fall, figuring out what lipsticks are best on you.
Yes.
With what collections that you're wearing.
Yes.
Because a lot of people really do fight with that. They fight to understand, oh, I shouldn't wear Kelly Green. I should wear more of a jewel tone.
Well, somebody gave them that color thing.
Correct.
You know, and they believed it.
And they believed it. Exactly.
Well, and also seasons. Your skin is different. And so you need to adjust.
What is your undertone? Yeah. What are we concealing? What are we amplifying?
I think I have to go back.
You know, what are we doing with highlighting and contouring?
It matters.
It matters. And I know we talked about, you know, the season that's coming up, we are eliminating, we're getting rid of, you know, the snatched noses and the snatched cheekbones and getting rid of
snatched noses.
Oh yeah, everybody's
what's a snatched nose?
Where they would take the contour
too much,
and they would contour the nose.
So
they would make a point on their nose to make their nose look so small, and they would do the same thing with the cheekbones, and it was just too much. It was
too snatched.
Too much, and we are coming out of an age of the Kardashians, which is fine. They sold a lot of makeup, which is great, and I love that.
Billions.
But now the foundations are coming out, and they're serums now.
That's better.
And then they're plumping, and they have a little bit of pigment to them, and they help to plump your skin, and they help to hide things that they haven't hid before. And so I think it's wonderful.
It's wonderful to hide things that you've never hidden before.
Exactly.
So tell us again, where can people find you?
So we are at, if you want to check out our website, we're at archedbeauty.com. And our actual salon is on I-10 and Echo Lane. We're at 9219 Katy Freeway in Houston, Texas.
And they can find you at Edward Sanchez.
Cosmetics.com.
Well, this has been so fun.
Thank you.
Thank you
so
much.
We're so excited. I mean, we talked about you last week.
I know, right?
We had to say, and you liked it, so you
And then here he is.
Thank you.
I've been so excited. I got here an hour early.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much, our friend. Well, this has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, and we need to close the show. You have to wait.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
What do I do?
It's Fashion Fitness Wellness.
This is how we close.
Oh, okay.
We want you to stay bold.
Stay elegant.
Stay focused.
Stay fit.
And stay fabulous.
Please.
Please.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh.
Happy
Mother's Day.
Bye.
Bye. And girls, they want to have fun. Oh, girls just want to have fun.
At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.